Down on the Kitchen talks about food. Down on the Kitchen talks recipes. Down on the Kitchen talks about lots of other things on Community Radio. Welcome to the Donna Lana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here once a week at the studios of KHOI Community Radio. We talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. Welcome to our table. Well, happy Chinese New Year. We've moved into the Year of the Rabbit. And it's kind of nice to think about years as having an animal attached and an animal spirit. And the Year of the Rabbit
sounds gentle to me, right?
Well, it's gentle. Rabbits are, well, according to legend, they're quiet and gentle, but they are quick to action. They all are also optimistic, gracious, and when they are on task, they have a lot of self-discipline. So we hope to get a lot of good things done this year.
Well, we certainly are familiar with rabbits around here, so there's nothing nothing exotic about a rabbit.
No, well, actually, Year of the Rabbit is part of the Chinese zodiac, the Asian New Year, Lunar New Year celebration, and they cycle through this thing.
How many animals are
there? There are 12. 12, oh. Okay. And it can be, animals of the zodiac are rat, ox, tiger, rabbit, this year, dragon, snake, horse, sheep, monkey, rooster, dog, and pig.
Dragon.
So, okay. There you go. Wish us all a wonderful and prosperous new year.
I'd like to eat some rabbits.
Well, yeah. Maybe we shouldn't talk about eating rabbit and celebrating New Year's at the same time. We can get into some rabbit recipes. Yeah.
Let's find some rabbits to eat first.
All right. Oh, Donna. Very good. Very good.
I love a good rabbit stew.
Very good. So, Happy New Year, everybody. Today we're going to take a look at winter vegetables, kale, potatoes, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, foods that sustain us during these dark days of winter.
Well, after the excesses of the holidays, you know, we're all thinking about healthy. Well, vegetable, right? We also should mention citrus. Well, this is citrus season. Even though they don't grow here, this is the best time of year to buy citrus because it's all in season, what's left of it, coming from Florida and Texas and California. Citrus is having a bad time right now. There are several things. Of course, a lot of the storms have been very hard on a lot of our citrus growing regions, between the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the this and that. And then on top of that, there's this thing that's been going on for multiple years called citrus greening, which is some kind of really unfortunate disease that they have not quite figured out how to get rid of. So we have lost large amounts of citrus. As you all notice, the prices of citrus, along with a lot of other things, are certainly climbing in the grocery store. But I have to say, this time of year, I have one of those older Procter Silex electric juicer thingies, you know. And this time of year, I do tend to want just a nice glass of fresh orange juice or grapefruit juice or mixed whatever. And it's gotten a lot more expensive, but, you know, it does kind of brighten things up a little bit.
And it's good. I do like citrus stuff. It's good.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't tell you, Lana. So my son's girlfriend, love her, sent me a package from New York, and it had a bergamot in it.
A bergamot?
Well, two, actually.
Two.
They look sort of like greenish lemons.
Really?
We had been joking that if they find any yuzu, which I love, which is that Japanese citrus, but so instead she found some bergamots, and I will have to give you a taste of it. So it is a citrus, and
I didn't know a bergamot. It's a thing.
It's a fruit. And you cut into it, and it tastes just like it smells in the Earl Grey tea. So she said that Kim and Arianne were having a wonderful gin and tonics with bergamot in it. So you'll have to come over and we'll have a gin and tonic bergamot. You will see That was I'm sorry to brag about this because not everyone in Ames can have a bergamot, but it really was fun.
Talk about your exotic.
Yeah, so if someone is traveling to New York, you can go to some. Where would they be? I think they're Italian, maybe. So maybe they were. I didn't ask where they got it. Maybe Italy or a good Italian market might have some of. You know, because Italy has wonderful. Among other places, they also have the blood oranges and the, if one were to go to California this time of year, the farmers markets, at least in Southern California, there will be 5 varieties of grapefruits and 6 varieties of tangerines and, the kumquats too. And, so many wonderful things that I do get a bit nostalgic for that sort of thing this time of year. So unless you have an indoor, I think our friend Carolyn Raffensperger is growing. She's growing. I think she told me she has now 6 citrus fruit trees,
You can do that, but.
And they produce 1 or 2 lemons a year. I mean, precious they are.
Yeah,
they do smell wonderful, but it's hard to grow citrus fruit in Iowa, so.
Well, we try.
Bergamot,
yes, I do like Earl Grey tea, and I had no idea that came from a fruit.
Oh, you're going to love it. I have to, do that for you. In fact, I should have brought a slice and made you taste it on air and guess what it was. Sorry, folks.
Again, stump Lana on the air. That's one of our favorite things.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So back to the vegetables. Okay, yesterday I took the end of the Gary Guthrie carrots that had been sitting pathetically in my refrigerator and peeled them off. And, last weekend was the Practical Farmers of Iowa Conference. And at the dinner that they have where people bring treats, Gary showed up with a gorgeous bucket of carrots that he had peeled, and they looked like... like they had just come out of the ground in September or something. So
I wish to jump in here and remind folks that we speak of Gary and Gary's carrots every now and then. For in central Iowa, he is known as the Carrot King, and not everyone can grow carrots or even want to grow carrots. They're a real fuss, but this man has taken them on as a project. And we are so glad he did because he produces fantastic carrots. It's wonderful this time of year. Carrots.
Well, what do you think is his storage method? Is he burying them in sand or something that you're supposed to? Whatever he's doing, his carrots looked great and mine looked really sad. So I peeled them off and I roasted them whole with just a light spray of oil and a tiny little bit of salt in the oven till they got soft. And then I was following this kind of suggestion for winter salads in the New York Times, and then I smashed them, not to bits, but I kind of flattened them out a little bit, and because they were soft already, and then I sautéed them in some brown butter sage. Now, you can saute shoe leather in brown butter sage, and it will taste great. So
remember, you heard it here first.
Yeah, this was a very successful recipe. So that's what I was doing with carrots. I just put them as a side dish with some pasta. The other thing, there's a wonderful recipe for a Brussels sprout salad.
That is what it's considered a winter vegetable. I suppose you can eat them all year, but boy, they get better and better as they get into winter because they taste so good.
They do. They get sweeter the more they've been in the cold weather. So, I've been eating a lot of Brussels sprouts. They recommended in this New York Times thing to roast them. You know, just slightly cut them in half and lightly coat them with probably salt, pepper, and olive oil, and then roast them till they turn brown. And then they suggested making a sort of a garlicky, lemony Caesar salad dressing kind of thing, which sounds wonderful to me.
Not even a... This is a salad.
Yeah, right.
Good idea.
To have them like that. I did cook them also yesterday. My favorite way of cooking them usually to eat them hot is to add dill, lemon, and parmesan is another you know, I mean, so Brussels sprouts, as all things in the cabbage family, you know, we forget that cabbage can be a lot more than
cabbage.
Yeah. A lot more than coleslaw or sauerkraut. You can kind of slice it and, or quarter it and roast it also, just like the Brussels sprouts too. And it does sweeten up and caramelize, and you can do red cabbage that way or the white cabbages that way. We forget. I don't know why people underestimate cabbage, I would say.
Yes, I believe
so. Maybe because it's so ubiquitous.
Right. It's just kind of a throwaway. It's the
there.
Side. Well, even quartered cabbage, I kind of like to put it in a pan, a steamer, and layer it with sliced onions and steam it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you put butter on it and salt and pepper, and then it's good. I know cabbage, and that it's a really nice winter, good for the stomach, good for the soul.
Well, maybe our generation has just grown out of it. You know, cold climates, like you look at Ukrainian food, Russian food, German food, it is full of cabbage. I mean, even you look at those big old crocks, like the 5-gallon crocks where people stored cabbage all winter long as sauerkraut and ate it and ate it and ate it, because it's very good for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've kind of, let's say, gotten over cabbage, but it's worth revisiting, especially this time of year. The other thing, of course, potatoes, and what goes better with cabbage than potatoes, all kinds of potatoes,
mm-hmm.
and sweet potatoes, because they're loaded with, you know, all those orange vegetables, the carrots, the squash, and the sweet potatoes. We forget that there are many varieties. There's yams, which are super sweet. There's sweet potatoes. There's the white sweet potatoes, which are traditional in the South, but you can get them around here. They're really lovely. There's the Asian sweet potatoes, which are, I really like them when I can find them because they're lighter in color like the sweet potatoes, so they're not as heavily sugared, and they have a slight chestnutty flavor, and they make a wonderful soup if you cook them and puree them up with a little stock or a little even cream or milk. Multiple. And the purple ones, which have an outrageous color if you want a conversation piece at the dinner table.
Who was it? Somebody brought us a purple sweet potato pie to a potluck.
Oh.
Once. It was a big hit. It was magenta.
Yeah, it is. It's so beautiful. You could do all kinds of things with it. So,
yeah, and this is the time of year, too, especially if you have potatoes and sweet potatoes. If you've stored them, like in a really good place, time to look at all those things and kind of pick through them because, my potatoes, some of them are starting to sprout, but sweet potatoes are doing great. And I want to mention that sweet potatoes, you don't have to store as cold as you would, winter squash or cabbage or potatoes. My sweet potatoes do best in a basket out of the, kind of in the shade, under a corner in my bedroom. I have a cool bedroom, but it's not as cold as my basement. And sweet potatoes don't need to really be cold. They do need to be well cured and dry. Anyway, my sweet potatoes are doing great, and I'm still eating on those.
And onions, too.
Oh, well, see, onions? Onions are down there a little cold.
Yeah, onions are a vegetable. They're not just like a condiment that you, like take some red onions, for example, some sweet red onions, you know, cut off the tops and bottoms and peel them and then cut them into quarters and roast them with a little olive oil, salt and pepper, and a tiny bit of vinegar, like balsamic, a sweet kind of vinegar. Makes a yummy main dish just on their own. And you can do kind of the same thing with leeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all of those oniony things. And then garlic is a vegetable. I put it in everything.
Think of eating lots of that, especially
yeah. Have
since
you been roast? You know, there is that trick where you cut all of the tops off. You leave the thing, the whole head intact. You cut the top off with a sharp knife so that the tip of each clove is exposed. Spray a little olive oil on it, and you can roast it. Some people then wrap it in tinfoil and roast it to keep it from drying out. And then once it's roasted and nice and soft, you take the whole thing and you squish it and squeeze out the garlic.
Very self, very satisfying.
Oh, yeah, and then rub that on a little toast.
Although I like to just break apart the heads, and you can leave a little husk on, a little skin on, and spread them on a little sheet and put them in the toaster oven. And
no such thing as too much garlic, right?
And yes, Donna, your advice that garlic is better than 10 grandmothers or something.
Something like that.
Having come and gone with a cold this past weekend.
Did you eat your garlic when you had the snuffles?
I ate garlic it's good anyway, but that and being extremely warm and lots of liquids. I think I'm kicking it now.
Chicken stock and raw garlic, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right. Oh, okay. This is not medical advice. That's my disclaimer. However, anytime anybody in my family gets a cold or a snuffles or even like thinks they're thinking about having one, we chop up a raw clove of garlic into like pieces small enough to swallow. Put it on a spoon and everybody takes one. That way, you know, you're not exposing everyone to that. We're all getting a medicinal dose. I swear by it.
I think it's good for you. And it's a winter vegetable. And
keeps the werewolves away.
Yeah. And again, your onions, too. Time to kind of go through that. And if anything's sprouting in the onion department or even in the garlic department, it's fine to use that stuff. You can throw away anything that's questionable, of course, but
well, there is that whole thing about, oh, if the garlic has a green sprout, it's bitter, ta-ta-ta-ta. I kind of ignore that. But if you really want to, you can split your clove and pull the little green bit out, and it's fine. Joe and Lana grow a lot of garlic, so we are blessed with having just gorgeous. What's the variety that you guys grow?
What grows well here, and a lot of growers grow it, is a variety of German stiff neck garlic, which sort of
German stiff neck.
I can relate to that. But the variety name that I have good luck with is called Music.
Ah.
But there are a lot of other kinds, but I do like that one just for its clove size.
They're beautiful. Yeah, and they're nice large cloves. I mean, there is you know, if you're using fresh garlic, picking those little tiny cloves can get really, really annoying. But if you have nice big cloves, it goes a whole lot faster. And we freeze them. So now I'm using the frozen garlic. We just split the heads up, throw them in the freezer. And then when we're ready to use some, I take a little baggie out and let them thaw. And then they're very easy to peel once they've been frozen.
Yeah. Good. And also, I talk about the size of the cloves. Garlic can vary as to how big the cloves are. But
these are like as big as the tip of your thumb.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
Really
yeah.
Nice.
See, Donna and I and lots of other people like garlic. So you're like, now, there's other people, oh, well, I just want a little taste. And garlic, you can get garlics that just have nice little dainty little cloves if all you to stud a chicken with or to stud a roast with. There's all different kinds, so try different kinds, not just big fat ones, but little ones too.
Okay, well, I'm for the big ones.
go for it.
Well, now the other thing we haven't talked about is, of course, my favorite vegetable is winter squash, particularly the kabochas, but the butternut, which are around everywhere, are not too shabby either. So you can make soups, you can either roast them in the oven to make the soup, or if you got to cut them in half, take the seeds out, you can steam them also, but be sure if you steam them to save the water to make the soup. And what I love about them, aside from their brilliant color, is they can do so many things. You can go Italian, like, you know, roast your squash, puree it up with my new immersion hand blender. I got myself a new hand immersion blender. I got the I think the Vitamix brand one. Oh, it's so powerful. It's so wonderful. It makes it everything easy. Anyway, so you've either roasted or steamed your squash and then you've added some liquid. So either you're using chicken stock or water or milk or the stock from that you boiled the squash in. And then, you can take a little fresh rosemary and, chop it up really fine. Throw it in some olive oil, cook it up a little bit, and then throw it into the pot and puree it in, and you get a very Italian flavor. If you want to go Asian, you can use as your liquid, you can add coconut milk to it, and then maybe some Thai seasonings, or you can go Indian with curry and butter, or ghee. You know, you can just do so many things with squash. It's has such a sweetness to it and makes a beautiful texture for any kind of soup.
Yes. You when you roast it in the oven, Donna, see, opening up some of these squash can be kind of imposing. They got the big, hard skin, and what do you do?
I use the biggest knife I have and whack it hard.
Yeah, just kind of go for it. Be careful. This is one of those, yes, you can hurt yourself in the kitchen situations, but once you break it open and scoop out the seeds, do you roast your squash cut side up or cut side down?
Cut side up.
Oh, there you go.
Because, it produces liquids and things like that. So if you're cut side down, you're going to kind of dry and bake out all of the liquids onto the cooking sheet. Whereas if you're doing it cut side up, it's like a boat and it holds on to more of the juices.
There you go.
That's my technique anyway.
There you go.
And this applies to butter, butternut, buttercup, kabocha, all of those winter squashes. No such thing as a bad winter squash, except for, sorry, I don't like spaghetti squash.
Now, I don't either. Who invented spaghetti squash?
I don't know. It has no flavor at all. It's a funny texture. I mean, okay, funny, amusing maybe, but it's not, it's too close to zucchini, and you know how I feel about zucchini.
I love zucchini, but don't insult zucchini by calling spaghetti squash zucchini.
Okay, yeah. Spaghetti squash is a lot like an overgrown zucchini.
All
okay.
Right. All right. Yeah.
Can we go there?
We can go there.
Okay.
But it's now, it is, so Donna, we agree on something. We don't care for spaghetti squash. Maybe somebody out there would have a fantastic way to use it. But so far, if I want spaghetti, I'm going to get your spaghetti.
That's okay? Right. That's right.
That's very good. Very good.
So there are lots of other, I've been cooking fennel lately, just because I love the flavor of it right now, and it's readily available.
Mm-hmm.
What did I do with it last night? Oh, I made a chicken marsala with fennel in it.
Ooh.
So you just, boil up some chicken and shred it, and then the marsala recipe is you make a white sauce, so that's butter, flour, I think I fried a few onions with that. And then you put in a lot of marsala, which is a sweet-ish kind of wine.
Ha!
And it ends up with this kind of almost, kind of butterscotchy, but not butterscotch, right? It makes a wonderful pasta sauce. So you have the chicken and the marsala, and then I sauteed some fennel, sliced fennel bulbs, and put that in with it. Then I poured it all over pasta. Fancy.
Not spaghetti squash. You put it on pasta.
Oh, yeah. I think I used fusilli or something like that.
Very good.
But the fennel was really good in that. And fennel, it's hard to find, but I do have I love fennel pollen when you can buy it.
What?
Just a little, it's actually from the flower of the fennel plant, and it's a wonderful seasoning if you can get some. It's really good with pork. Fennel and pork is a wonderful combination too.
Ooh, who would know? How? See?
Well, when you think of Italian sausage, it always has fennel in it.
Ha.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. They know what they're doing, those Italians.
We're doing all kinds of things to do with winter vegetables here. We're talking about things that get us through the dark days of winter, and food usually helps. That's very good. You're listening to KHOI, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. This is Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking about winter vegetables. Are you hungry yet? Donna's giving us all kinds of good things to
Right. We're trying to keep our inspiration up here for this month of January. We didn't even mention kale, the obvious winter vegetable.
We're mentioning it now. It's a good winter vegetable.
I did make something. I've just been crazy about bones lately. I bought from a farmer called Farm Story or something like that. Anyway, they deliver to your house. And the father in that group has Chester White hogs, which are huge, huge, huge. And the reason I love to order from them is because you can buy pig's feet from them.
Oh, you
which
can.
Are really hard to get. And these are giant pig's feet. And they also sell neck bones.
Really?
So I got a big old package of frozen neck bones, which makes, and they both make wonderful stock for soup. So I made a minestrone, cooked the neck bones and cooked them and cooked them and cooked them. And then, of course, you have to pick out all the bones, and there are lots of little bones. But what you have left is really the perfect size little bits of meat and other things that are collagen producing that make a wonderful stock. So I started with that, and then I added some, I had some pureed squash. So I put some of that in and some tomatoes. I was kind of going in the minestrone direction without the pasta. Added kale, onions, garlic, and then I had still cooked up, we have talked about those Rancho Gordo heirloom beans. Which I love that site. There's so many kinds of beans that dried beans that one cannot find in the grocery store here.
Right.
So I had gotten some very large, big as a half dollar practically.
Like a button, a large
a
button.
A large size. Button,
yeah.
White bean. It's called a Corona bean or something like that. And so I had some of those cooked up and I put it into this pork broth with the kale, right? Really, really good hearty soup. We ate that all weekend long. Now the other, what else did, oh, radicchios.
Oh, Donna, okay. You're just doing good here.
And chicories. Okay, these are bitter greens that are not easy to find, in the Midwest. But if you can't, usually you can find a head of radicchio. It looks like a small red cabbage. But it's much more tender than cabbage. And chicories and radicchios are bitter. So don't be too surprised. But
be
they
prepared.
Make a wonderful, like the New York Times had a wonderful salad called, so they roasted some cubed squash. So they had the roasted squash. They cut up the radicchio. And then they finished it with an avocado green goddess dressing. Now that's avocados are in season now and they are very reasonably priced. So if you're going to go nuts for avocados, right now would be the time to do it. Make lots of guacamole. It's the time of year when one can afford to eat avocados with abandon. So, go for it. I have to say the classic avocado, guacamole recipe that I have learned from some of my friends of Mexican heritage while I lived in Southern California, really simple. It's lime juice, chopped onion, chopped cilantro, salt and pepper. That's it. And mashed up. Now you can, of course, people add other things, but that's the classic sort of Baja guacamole. So there you have it. So technically, it's a winter vegetable. It just doesn't grow here. It's kind of like a citrus. But these are fun things to be eating now. And this idea of putting the avocado green goddess dressing on the squash and radicchio salad, I like that. I think I'm going to run around and look for some. There are other kinds of chicories, too, some of which can be sautéed lightly, some of the more like, I think they're like frisée or larger, the ones that look like they have a wild hair day or something like that. Those are really good too, because we do well to have some bitter foods in our diet. So chicories or endive too is also in the chicory family. And I have to personally put in my own promotion for people know me as drinking a lot of chicory root.
Yeah.
Which
is, that's right.
Right. It's the same plant, but the chicory beverage which is used often as a coffee substitute, yeah, is actually the dried root. And since I don't drink a lot of coffee, I do drink a lot of chicory. I prefer the French chicory. It looks kind of like dried ground coffee, and you boil it because it's a root, and then I just drink it. I drink mine with milk in it, just like you would your coffee, and it's very nutritive. And also chicory, if you're reading an ingredients label and it says inulin on it, that also is a chicory product.
Inulin.
Inulin is, it's used in products to add, what is it? A kind of roughage. It's also considered not a probiotic, but a prebiotic. Apparently, your intestines and the little guys living in there really like inulin. So I guess they would also really like chicory, is my guess. I don't know. So it's really good for you, and it's in a lot of places that you're not thinking about it.
Right. There's a lot of good things. Good things. We mentioned Gary Guthrie's carrots earlier, and that sort of led us to the fact that we ran into some Gary Guthrie carrots at the Practical Farmers of Iowa conference. They always have what I consider one of the better potlucks. At least it's a really interesting
gathering. It's a really big potluck. Yeah, we're talking 600 people here, right?
It's large.
600 of your best friends. It is really fun.
So three cheers to folks that organize that, because there's a lot of people. So the main dishes, the main course, and was catered by, and
it's called Farmhouse Catering.
Farmhouse, every
Peterson, right over in Nevada.
Farmhouse.
They do a wonderful
and
job.
And they did a fine job with all the main dish stuff. But the highlight of this year, we were told that it was going to be a pickles and preserves potluck. And like somebody that makes pickles and preserves, the light bulb goes up. This time of year when you think potluck, oh dear, what can I take? Bag of chips? I don't know. That's kind of boring. But especially this group of Practical Farmers of Iowa people, we reached into
food.
We reached into our
farmers larders. Like food. Right?
Farmers like food. Pickles, preserves, ferments. Well, anyway, so I walked up and down this long, long table. People would show up and just put down their offering. I kind of wrote down some of this stuff here.
Well, first, at the top of the list, tell us what you put out.
Oh, what did I put out? I reached into my larder, and I got ground cherry jam. I got rhubarb orange jam, and I got hot pepper relish, which are little jam.
Oh, yeah, the hot pepper relish.
And then I also brought bread and butter pickle okra.
Oh, yes. Lana's pickled okra.
It was all gone by the time I...
Yeah,
and
I don't
then
get
I
it.
Also brought some dilly beans, yellow beans with pickled with dill. That was mine. And other people brought stuff, too. So I was walking up and down, and I wrote down some of the things, and it just got better and better. People would eat up things and bring in more. And happened to run into Beth Hoffman in the line. She's a Iowa author. She wrote Bet the Farm. And she said, what are you doing? What are you doing writing everything down? I said, oh, Beth, I'm writing down what's here. And so far, it looks like it may turn into a long poem here, just a list of everything. I've got 4 pages on my little list here. I'm going to read some of this. And so in the
this
middle
is a
of
poem
here,
from Lana.
A poem. The Practical Farmers of Iowa, Prickles and Preserve Potluck.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
There were a lot of pickled peppers, too. Here's kind of what I wrote down. Corn relish, sweet pickles, peach barbecue sauce, 3 kinds of sauerkraut, and those are all fermented, fresh made, stuffed yellow peppers, pickled veggies, Polish pickled veggies, jalapeno peppers, local maple syrup, that's not really pickled, but it was preserved, different cheeses, creamy fried pickled pate. I don't know what that was, is what it said on there. There was honeyberry jam and honeyberry jelly. There was orange marmalade and number of summer sausages, which, that's a way to preserve things, too. Hot pepper relish. There was bacon tomato jam, cherry chipotle sauce, onion chutney, banana peppers, pickled, lentils, feta, squash salad, which wasn't really pickled, but it went nice with everything else. Pickled eggs. We've talked about pickled eggs.
Oh, I love pickled eggs.
Loved them. And then there was some sourdough bread, some rye bread, some sourdough bread, truffle gouda, prairie breeze cheese, and cheese curds. And thanks to all the people that made pickled beets, I return to that those jars every now and then. Pickled beets, they were very good. Spicy dill spears, green tomato salsa, green bean pickles, hot pickled, there was some hot pickled eggs too, different than the other pickled eggs. Spicy sausage molasses cookies, pickled pears, pickled asparagus, gherkins, applesauce. There was some homemade cheesecake. Not pickled, but much appreciated.
Blueberries with Iowa blueberries.
With
it
Iowa
was really good.
So good. Naylor Farm chutney. Okay, that was pretty good. There was hot pepper vinegar. Mm. And there was a mixture of pickled vegetables that had cauliflower in it, and I looked at that, and it wasn't called that, but in where I grew up, that kind of pickled vegetable was called chow chow. I don't know why.
Yes.
Chow chow.
That's huh? I think, an English thing, maybe.
Yeah. Christmas pickles. They kind of pickles that have hot cinnamon as a taste. Oh, very good. Persimmon vinegar elderberry sauce, dilly garlic slices, and ginger snaps and blonde brownies. So there you go. Oh! We ate
well.
That's
a snapshot of Iowa in the winter, right?
It was fun. It was fun. And people would kind of say, well, what did you bring? And taste this and taste that. And the people that brought the sourdough breads were happily cutting them up and passing them out. Actually, there were some other ferments, too. I didn't make it down to the beer and wine and fermented kefir or fermented kombucha end of the room, but I know.
Yeah, and sometimes there's some homemade liquors there, too.
There was some interesting things there, too. I did not partake because I was so full of everything else, but yeah, but it was good.
Overwhelming event, the whole thing.
People take pride in their pickles, and I'm glad, too. Mm-hmm. It was a fun thing to do. Very good. So, the Practical Farmers of Iowa potluck was part of the conference, of course, and we'll have more news of the Practical Farmers
Right,
conference.
That was just the food part.
Yeah,
there's the whole rest of the conference.
We were there
right?
Not just to eat, too. We will have things to report on because we met some interesting people.
Yeah, we're very proud of Practical Farmers of Iowa. It is often mentioned that organization is the largest, most effective state farming organization in the country. They are just doing a lot of research with farmers and a lot of helping of getting cover crops going, all kinds of stuff. It's just a thrilling conference.
We had a good
and
weekend.
Exhausting
and exhausting.
Right.
Well, we had a good weekend anyway. You're listening to KHOI. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find out more about us at www.khoifm.org. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking about food. We usually talk about food, but there's a lot of things that we can enjoy during the winter. Winter vegetables, winter things that sustain us. It's very good. There's something we haven't talked about, and that is another use of cabbage is sauerkraut. I got a recipe book from Donna a while back, and I learned about an interesting recipe called Sauerkraut Tart.
Ta-da. This book is called May Tarts, Sweet and Savory Tarts of Christine Ferber. So this book, besides being, have lovely pictures. I have to have a book with pictures in it. They do have lovely pictures. This is a book about tarts. And it's not just sweet tarts. They are savory tarts. I saw a picture and I saw a recipe in here. That I have to try that. It's called a sauerkraut and Munster tart. Sauerkraut?
Well, I don't know. This time of year, it sounds like the perfect thing.
It sounds like the perfect thing. Sauerkraut. What a good start. I like sauerkraut. And more people are making their own now. So actually, I got the sauerkraut from good friend Nick Odie. Thanks for the sauerkraut. It started off this pie.
So it's homemade Iowa sauerkraut.
It is. It is. So I'll tell you a little bit about this pie. And this is made in a tart pan. Tart pan's different than a pie pan. It has,
right, because the bottom can be lifted out.
And the sides are straight up and down. It's very pretty.
Yeah, and the sides have these little curlicues on it. This looks very French to me, Lana.
It's
impressive.
Very Iowa. It looks very Iowa.
Very quiche-y.
It is quiche-y. I'm not much for quiche, but since this has sauerkraut, shallots, garlic, quite a bit of cumin, Munster, and a nice custard on the top of it. This is how it goes. First you make a flaky pastry to line the pan with, and this pastry has, of course, lots of butter, but it also has one egg and some sugar in it. You make that ahead of time and let that rest in the refrigerator. She suggests just leaving it in a ball of dough overnight. I was lazy. I had too much to do this morning. So last evening, I already filled the pie tart and covered it with plastic and put it in the refrigerator. Okay, while that's sitting there, actually take it out and get it ready. Just kind of let it sit on the counter. 11 ounces of aged Munster sliced up. 11 ounces of sauerkraut. 1 1/2 tablespoons of peanut oil. 2 tablespoons of butter, 1 shallot. I used a very big shallot. I had great shallots.
Peanut oil.
I don't know peanut oil. I used a dash of it, but mainly I sauteed that in butter. Mm-hmm. The shallot, the garlic, and saute the sauerkraut, too, just to warm it up. And then as it's kind of getting brown and things are smelling good, you splash on 5 ounces of white wine, and she suggests an Alsatian wine, but I did not go out to buy any Alsatian wine for this. A good old Iowa from the local grocery store wine, because that deglazes the pan, add a little water, and 3 pinches of cumin. Now, that kind of saute until it kind of dries out.
Yeah, the cumin is a nice surprise, and not terribly French. So with the cumin and the sauerkraut, you're definitely getting a little Germanic in there. This is good. It's delicious.
Okay. So that'll get sautéed. That gets put on the bottom of the crust. Then it gets covered with the Munster, slices of Munster.
Oh.
Quite a bit. Munster's good cheese. You don't use it enough. Now, for the egg custard, 5 ounces of creme fraiche, 7 ounces of whole milk, 3 eggs.
Wait, tell us how you made your creme fraiche, because that's not an American ingredient.
Okay. So, creme fraiche, would you describe it as kind of really rich, kind of soury, zingy?
The closest thing we have is sour cream, but usually creme fraiche is a little more liquid. So, some people will, to create creme fraiche, they'll take sour cream and add a little heavy cream into it and loosen it up. Or, I take my kefir culture and put it in straight cream and let it sit, 24 hours at... Oh, my God, it's too.
That's what I did. It's like you kind of perk up cream a little bit.
Yeah, it's cultured,
I put the kefir in there, let it sit overnight on the counter. There. Mm-hmm. So you've got this really nice, zingy creme fraiche. And you add it to 7 ounces of whole milk, 3 eggs, salt, black pepper. That gets beaten and put on top of the Munster and the sauerkraut mixture. There it is. Here I am not doing it correctly here. You pre-bake the pie crust for 12 minutes because you want it to harden up a little bit. So you don't get mush here.
That makes
sense. So it's not completely baked, but it does have sort of a crust on it.
And you can use
a little egg wash on that. Anyway. There. That was sauerkraut Munster tart, and since that was not very coherent, that's the way I cook in the kitchen. But The recipe is on the Donna Lana Kitchen recipe page, and it makes a lot more sense if you follow the recipe there. You can go to www.khoifm.org, and you'll find out a lot more about this radio station. Go to talk programs and go to the Donna Lana Kitchen, and you can find our recipe page there. And you can find not just sauerkraut Munster tart, but lots of other good things too.
Well, we got one more winter vegetable, which I adore, that I haven't even mentioned. It's called celeriac or celery root. So it is not the root of the normal kind of celery that you buy at the market, but it is in the same family. It does have a kind of shorter celery flavored leaves on top, but that's not what you're eating. So if you see something at the grocery store, it's round about the size of a softball and sometimes larger and sometimes smaller. It has a mild, earthy, celery-like flavor, and it's starchy like a potato. It's not selected for its beauty.
It's kind of
hairy and gnarled.
Yeah.
And
the term gnarly comes into mind.
They're very odd looking. So you just kind of slice all of that off. You can't, it's more than peeling, let me just say that. I use a knife, I don't use a vegetable peeler on it, and you kind of take all the rough, hairy, gritty stuff off on the outside, and then you have a thing that's kind of regular potato colored, but it tastes like celery, and it can either be cooked or it can be grated raw, and you can make it, like, there's a very famous classic French salad called celery root remoulade, which is basically, you shred the celery roots and, you know, grate them, basically. And then you make a mayonnaise that has some mustard in it. And I like to put a little lemon juice in mine and perk it up a little bit more. And that makes a wonderful winter salad. Also, cube it and roast it with potatoes in the oven or other root vegetables. You can make a soup out of it as well. You know, boil it up, cut it up, boil it up, puree it, or put it into a potato soup or any other kind of soup. I mean, even a squash celery root soup would be delicious. If you want that celery flavor, it's very delightful, and one of my favorite vegetables. And while you can find them year round in the markets, they're best this time of year. Pick one that is heavy for its size, you know, because that means it's not too dried out. They're fresher like that. The heavier they feel in your hand for their size, that's how you know you're getting a good one. Celery root or celeriac is delicious.
Sounds like we've lots of vegetables to eat.
Yeah, we got example. Options this time of year. We really do.
Ah, that's great. Another overlooked gnarly vegetable is rutabaga. I've always liked
that's right. And if you're using English cookbooks, they're called Swedes.
Swedes.
So rutabaga. It has actually you can roast rutabaga, celery root, and potatoes and have a really lovely medley of roasted root vegetables.
Ah, very good.
And
very
you
good.
Can also mix those into soups. Same thing. All these things are kind of mix and match. The rutabagas have a, how would you describe the flavor of a rutabaga?
It's got a little zing to it. It's kind of like now, I don't care for turnips as much as rutabaga.
Oh, yeah. Turnips are another winter vegetable. I much prefer rutabaga to turnips.
Because actually, I think rutabaga is a, long ago, it was a cross between turnip and cabbage. Really, truly, it was a long time ago that it was crossed. But anyway, it's got some of those characteristics in it.
But it has some sweetness to it.
Yes, yes.
It does. It's even a rutabaga, cream of rutabaga soup is really delicious.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sing the Frank Zappa rutabaga song for you this time, though.
You did once, but I think once is enough.
I'm always a little off key on that one. But I love the word rutabaga. Also, Carl Sandburg wrote a book, two books of children, for children called The Rutabaga Stories, which are just delightful. They're really nonsensical, rhythmic things. So rutabagas. I love rutabagas.
That's wonderful.
That's good. Oh, you had a quick news item you wanted to
share? I did. It was reported that, you know, we have been talking about Mexico not wanting to stop importing genetically modified corn. And, you know, Biden and Vilsack were down in Mexico, I think it was last week, to talk about this. It didn't get a lot of press because the border issues were much more covered. But, of course, it turns out, and we did talk about this, that there was a, we were quoting Timothy Weiss from Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy that said that the USDA was being influenced by a rather ill-founded study pointing out how harmful it was going to be to both the U.S. and to Mexico if they stopped importing GMO food. For goodness sake, you'd think it was the end of the world. Well, of course, the negotiations did not go well, and the U.S. has not agreed that Mexico can be a sovereign country and stop importing genetically modified corn if they want to. So it's going to turn into a world WTO trade dispute or something or other, you know.
Well,
because
stay tuned.
Apparently the U.S. Department of Agriculture is a big shill for genetically modified corn products. Who knew?
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, so stay tuned.
Let's follow this. Good. Oh, I have another quick news item. I noticed in my inbox today was a notice from the cricket lady. We have a woman that grows crickets here. Her name is Shelby Smith. And evidently her business, Gym and Eat Crickets, is going great guns. She reports a cricket shortage in Iowa.
Whoa!
And she's got
an egg shortage, a cricket shortage.
Yes. However, she's on it, and there are more on the way. But just to let you know, and yes, there are people that are eating these things and enjoying it.
High protein.
That's Gym and Eat Crickets. That's Gym, GYM-N-Eat.
Right. She makes little snack bars and things like that, so you don't actually look at the crickets.
She's so good. Anyway, that's another news item, but things are turning around on that one. Good. Well, thanks for listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen Show today. We had music by the Barn Owl Band, and we thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find us live at noon on Tuesdays and repeated Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. on this fine radio station.
And eat your winter vegetables.
Please do support this fine radio station. My name is Lana Noctigal.
I'm Donna Prisgintas.
You've had excellent engineering by Mike Murphy. Eat good food. Enjoy life.